بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن أبي إسحاق سعد بن أبي وقاص مالك بن أهيب بن عبد مناف بن زهرة بن كلاب بن مرة بن كعب بن اللوي القرشي الزهري رضي الله تعالى عنه، أحد العشرة المشهود لهم بالجنة، رضي الله عنهم قال: جاءني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعودني عام حجة الوداع من وجع اشتد بي، فقلت: يا رسول الله، إني قد بلغ بي من الوجع ما ترى، وأنا ذو مال ولا يرثني إلا ابنة لي، أفأتصدق بثلثي مالي؟ قال: لا. قلت: فالشطر يا رسول الله؟ فقال: لا. قلت: فالثلث يا رسول الله؟ قال: الثلث وثلث كثير وكبير، إنك أن تذر ورثتك أغنياء خير من أن تذرهم عالة يتكففون الناس، وإنك لن تنفق نفقة تبتغي بها وجه الله إلا أجرت عليها حتى ما تجعل في امرأتك. قال: فقلت: يا رسول الله، أخلف بعد أصحابي؟ قال: إنك لن تخلف تعمل عملا تبتغي به وجه الله إلا ازددت به درجة ورفعة، ولعلك أن تخلف حتى ينتفع بك أقوام ويضر بك آخرون. اللهم امضي لأصحابي هجرتهم ولا تردهم على أعقابهم، لكن البائس سعد بن خولة يرثي له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن مات بمكة. متفق عليه. The narrator of this hadith is a very famous Sahabi, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is accredited with the conquest of Iraq and with Madain also. He is one of the 10 Sahaba ikram who in this world were given the glad tidings of Jannah. That is, they have this title, Ashara Mubashara. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one majlis said, Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Uthman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah, Talha fil Jannah, Zubair fil Jannah, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas fil Jannah, Sa'id bin Zayd fil Jannah, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah fil Jannah, and Abdurrahman bin Auf fil Jannah. So these 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'een are considered to be the most superior among Sahaba ikram. In one majlis, they were given the glad tidings of Jannah in this world. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is also amongst those 6 Sahaba who at the demise of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu were appointed as the shura to decide who will become the Khalifa after Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He accepted Islam in the very early stages and he took part in all the battles, Badr and every battle thereafter. Allah's Rasul made a special dua for Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas on one occasion, that, O Allah, sharpen his aim and accept his dua. Because of this dua of Rasulullah, he was mustajab al-da'wat. Whatever dua he made would be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. He used to guard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in battles, and he was the first Sahabi to fire an arrow in the path of Allah Ta'ala. He passed away at the age of 70 in the 55th year of Hijrah. He is buried in Medina Munawwara. 270 ahadith are narrated by this Sahabi. One special thing that is mentioned about him, that in his final moments, as he was about to pass away, he called for the garment that he wore, which he took whilst he took part in Badr. And he said that, I have kept this garment specially for this day. And he made wasiyat that his kafan should be made from this garment and he should be buried in this garment. He narrates this hadith in which he says that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the Hajjatul Wada', that is the farewell pilgrimage, came to visit me. At that time I was severely ill. I said, O Nabi of Allah, you can see my condition, the severity of my illness. I fear I won't survive this illness. And he said that, I am a person of immense wealth. Allah has blessed me with a lot of wealth. I am wealthy. And I have only one heir, that is one daughter I have. So should I not give 2/3 of my wealth in sadaqah, in charity? The reason he asked this question is he felt that since his heirs are only one, so why not earn akhirat with his wealth? So he said that, let me give away 2/3 of my wealth. Allah's Rasul said, no. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, should I not give away half of my wealth? Nabi said, no. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, do I have permission to give away 1/3 of my wealth? Allah's Rasul said, yes, you can give 1/3, but that also is a lot. And then Nabi advised him, verily that you leave your heirs wealthy, it is better than you leaving them poor or in need so that they have to beg from people. And then obviously, the reason he requested giving his wealth away was the concern that he wanted to earn reward for his wealth. So Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appeased him and said to him that whatever you spend, but the intention is to seek the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you will be rewarded. Even the morsel of food you put in the mouth of your wife. In other words, what you spend on your family also you will be rewarded, as long as the intention is to seek the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Thereafter he says, I asked, O Nabi of Allah, will I be left behind by my companions? This question was asked because it was a concern among Sahaba Ikram, those that had made hijrah, those that had migrated from Makkah Mukarramah and went to Medina Munawwara. In order for the hijrah to be accepted, to be complete, one of the conditions in the hearts of Sahaba Ikram was that the mort and death should not take place in Makkah. We gave Makkah up for the sake of Allah, so we don't want to pass away in Makkah. Now this Sahabi obviously had come for Hajj. Now he had become severely ill. He feared that he would pass away in this illness. So the concern was that my hijrat will not be complete. So this is the reason he is asking that, O Nabi of Allah, will I be left behind? Will I pass away in Makkah and be deprived of the completion of my hijrah? Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi said, no. He said, verily, you will not be left behind. In fact, whatever action you do seeking the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, your ranks will be raised as a result of that action. And perhaps you will remain behind for some time to such an extent that one nation will be benefited from you and another nation will be harmed at your hands. And then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made this dua that, O Allah, complete for my Sahaba the hijrah and do not return them empty-handed. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lamented over one particular Sahabi, the name is Sa'd bin Khawla. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lamented over him that he had passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. Time is limited, but we find, my respected brothers, that in this hadith there are several lessons which we can learn. First of which is, a lot of times we feel that if somebody comes to visit us when we are sick, then we regard it as contrary to Sharia to mention our illness. Sometimes you're severely ill. My brother, how are you? Alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Meanwhile, the person is suffering. Why is he not mentioning his illness? He fears that he's going to diminish the reward of his illness by mentioning that illness. We find that in this instance, the Sahabi reveals his illness. Ya Rasulullah, I'm severely ill. I fear I will not survive the illness. So ulama extract from this that it is permissible to mention one's illness as long as it is for a valid reason. For example, for obtaining treatment. Sometimes the person visiting you is a pious person to get his du'as. Sometimes you need to find out a religious masla or ruling with regards to your illness. So then you have to reveal your illness. Where the prohibition or the caution comes from is to complain about one's illness. Then there is a fear that we will diminish the reward. Second important lesson that we learn from this hadith is that Rasulullah ﷺ consoled him and said, whatever you make a good intention with, even though it may be a normal practice, Allah will reward you upon this. So from this, ulama extract a principle that أَنَّ الْمُبَاحِ إِذَا قَصَدَ بِهِ وَجَّ اللَّهِ صَارَ طَاعَةً وَإِثَابَ عَلَيْهِ. That a permissible action, if the intention is Allah's pleasure, then that permissible, normal, mundane action becomes ibadat, and Allah Ta'ala will reward you. In this instance, referring to the money that he spent upon his family. Thirdly, we find that he asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that he had a concern that would my hijrat be complete. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, perhaps you will remain behind until one nation is benefited, one nation is harmed. In this, ulama say, was the prophecy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That even though the Sahabi was severely ill, he felt he would not survive this illness, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesied that you will still live for a long time. In fact, the conquest of Madain, etc. are being prophesied by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with regards to the Sahabi. And we find that this section where he said, Sa'd bin Khawla, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lamented over the Sahabi, ulama say, it is because this Sahabi passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. So this amal of hijrat was such a great amal. It is mentioned about Sa'd bin Khawla in the riwayat of Bukhari that he first made hijrat, he took part in Badr, then he returned back to Makkah Mukarramah and he passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. Another very important point is that when it comes to bequests, how much of my wealth am I allowed to leave a legacy with regards? Ulama say up to 1/3. That is also extracted from this hadith that up to 1/3 you can bequeath. But a Quranic heir, those that are going to become your heirs according to the Quran, you cannot make any bequests in their favor. You have to make bequests for those besides the Quranic heirs. And one more point that we learn from this hadith, a lot of times we feel that to earn wealth or to gather wealth is against Sharia. It's not against Sharia, it's permissible. to earn wealth, you will not be regarded as one who hoards his wealth, as long as the rights of those wealth, of that wealth is discharged. And in this hadith, indirectly is ishara of the importance of the preservation of family ties. Allah give us tawfiq to become one.